Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
Tennessee.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Greetings. Bless you all. Bless you all. Bless you all. Say shalom from my audience, please. Yes, say shalom. Shalom, shout it.
Shalom.
Thank you. I'm going to call you up in a minute. They don't want to mess up. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. Hallelujah. And I got a good crowd with me. We smile and have a lot of fun before the show. We also get very serious. We take the Most High Yah's way serious. Thanks for the chat room. Thanks for the 10. Shalom and blessings to everyone, including you, Mother Jennifer. As I said, I'm your host, Sister Ashley. It's an honor to even have this microphone for sure. I pray that you are all loving the Most High Yah with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Hallelujah, as we've been commanded. Mother Jennifer, let's get a sound check, please.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to the daughters of Zion. So good to hear your voices. I'm so glad that you're there listening live. It's really good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister, and I pray that everyone can hear me. I hear you, Sister Ashley, very well, and I think we can move on when you're ready.
Hallelujah. I thank the Most High Yah for his laws and for allowing me to do my part to teach them diligently unto my master's children. Hallelujah. That way, that they would even talk about them when we sit in homes together, when we walk together, that we'll be able to be around righteous children coming up, hopefully in a pure generation, doing better than I did, better than we did. Hallelujah. And it's a joy to be around those children. I exalt the Father. Hallelujah. That he saw each of us, called us out, and decided to set apart a people even behind us that would do his will. He's very deserving. Yahweh, you are very deserving of a holy generation, and I pray that you receive one before you return. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the fear of the Most High Yah. I'm thankful for the fear of Yah that my husband puts in me and doesn't allow me to waver from his way, from his ways. I'm thankful for the straight and narrow path. At times you may feel forced, honestly, because your ways have been so crooked. And I thank the Father that he's made it so straight and narrow, so small, that only the righteous shall see him. I'm thankful for my husband, Pastor Dow, and all of your husbands, if their name has never been called, if they love and follow and serve the Most High Yah, and they do their diligence to join in unity, set apart, coming out of her, lifting up holy hands, changing their ways, you know, leading you. Hallelujah. I pray that you are learning how to be subservient, how to obey. Blessed be the Most High Yah. I'm thankful for Pastor Dow. He speaks very stern these days. I've believed it for a while that when we hear the Most High Yah through that man, it's going to become more and more vile. It's going to be becoming more and more appearing to be profane, you know, to the people that are so dirty and so perverse. So I'm thankful that he's a willing vessel. I'm thankful that Yah makes difficult things easy, because this generation is, oh, waxing just worse and worse. I'm thankful for the righteous lights, all of you who are striving. You know, you make a way of escape from me at times. It's easy to veer off track and to focus on those who disrespect the Father and those who hide their sin, and, you know, those who get by with sin, etc. You know, when you pray, when you see, when you know, when you hear, and it's an endurance test of a lifetime for sure. And I'm very, very thankful to all of you who are loving the Most High Yah and trying to make it easy on our leaders. Very thankful for every community. I'm thankful for every law that you make as a community, every teaching that you put out and share with us, making things feel like a family. Hallelujah. And double honor. Can everybody say double honor to Pastor Dow? Yes, hallelujah to his family for what you bear, how you pray, how you live. Thank you for the changes you've made and the life that you live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Double honor to you, Mother Jennifer. Thanks for tuning in tonight as my host with me. Hallelujah. I hope we have a great conversation going forward. I hope every one of you are able to write something down, think of something that Yah would quicken to your spirit, something that you haven't thought of. Maybe to lead you to repentance for sure, or just to bring light to any darkness you may have in you. Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. Thank you so much. Mama Muncie, bless you, love you. Mama Deidre, bless you, love you. To all my aged women, bless you, I love you. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I'd like to acknowledge the Most High Yah first and foremost for his loving commitment towards us, for teaching us his ways, pulling us out of such darkness from a wicked world that we grew up in, and teaching us the right way, which is his way. I'm thankful that his ways are higher than my own, and that his thoughts are higher than my own. And I'm thankful that he loves me enough to just be willing to transform me and to change me in who he desires me to be. Thankful for him continually keeping me during this dead season. I don't take it for granted that his hand is on each and every one of us. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the labor that he puts in for Israel, the nights that he's awake thinking about Israel, you know, the time that he puts in just laboring and loving Yah's people. I know it's not always an easy thing, but he never complains about it at all. He never shies away from his responsibility, and he never gives half an effort. He always puts forth everything of himself to show how much he loves Yah. And I'm thankful for his submission to Yah, his submission to the ministry, his submission to the man of Yah. And it's just a great example to have. And to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for loving the daughters of Zion enough to really protect, to protect us, even when we don't understand what that protection looks like, what that protection is. There's so much work that goes on behind the scenes, and I'm so thankful to have a shepherd who is pure in heart, who truly loves the Most High, and to know that we as women are safe. So blessings to Pastor Dow, to his family, for the labor that they put in, taking care of the man of Yah, does not go unnoticed. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. 2 months and 19 days until our Passover. Hallelujah. I know that we will all be considering the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank him for the atoning blood. Hallelujah. The resurrection. I got to say, years and years ago, I didn't understand anything about the meaning or the symbolism, whatever you want to say, about Jesus Christ and what he did. I really didn't. When you get to know him and you join yourself with his people, it starts to become personal. You know, when you keep the feast days, when you keep the Passover, he begins to share things with your spirit and commune with you in a way that I had never known my Yah. So I'm very thankful now for the Passover, when years and years ago I didn't quite understand even what I was keeping. I'm just going through the rhythm and trying to learn, you know. So praise Yah for growth. Hey, it was 1 year before me and Deacon Bill ever sat together at breakfast or dinner time. It was 2 years before we were given permission to even hold hands. And it was 3 years before we consummated. I got an email I want to read tonight, and I got a, man, sometimes, y'all, honestly, you know, some of you guys, you know me personally, you know, I'm just like you, mom like you, homeschool teacher like you, you know, in my 30s, 39, living my last year in my 30s, I thought I was 40. Y'all heard the story. I thought I was 40 for a whole year, I thought it was 40 for a few months, and then my husband ran into my biological sister at Walmart, and she knew I had just turned 39, and so she said, you know, I actually just turned 39. So he brought that home to me. I was like, huh? Well, I was 39 last year, right? I don't know. So anyway, I did the math. I was like, well, yeah, I was way wrong. I don't know where I messed up. I could have messed up at 32. I could have been wrong for many years. I don't know. But y'all know me. Y'all know me, you know. You know my tone and my voice, my flesh, my life, my faults. And don't forget my love. Don't forget me and Mother Jennifer's love. You know, remember our intentions. I haven't reminded y'all of that in a while, because the intentions are always to help. And we make our boast to Yah. And we too are, you know, molded, and we too have our connections with the Father in our moments of great sorrow and anguish. We have our prayer life. We have, you know, we're living too. And sometimes when I, you know, Mother Jennifer happened to send me a text today and wanted to discuss some things, and so she had wrote them out. And she had wanted to go back on some things on last week's show. And so I'm contemplating them and going over some of the short thoughts that she sent me, and sometimes it just burns in me. I told y'all my phrase is flipping tables. It's like this passion inside me sometimes just wants to flip stuff. I don't do that. I practice self-control, but I love my Creator so much and what he's done for me, and sometimes we as a people we pierce him all the day long, you know, and we crucify him again and again, and we hurt him over and over, and we don't consider his hurt. You know, consider how he feels. We just focus so much on self. And tonight, based on an email that we got and a desire that Mother Jennifer had, we'll talk about really just defining holy versus profane, you know, and really maybe even talk about perversity and just kind of, we really want to define things and support, of course, our leadership. Like I told y'all, his spirit, the spirit of Yah, is leading him a certain way to speak a certain way. And to really capitalize on lust, you know, immorality, I should say, or sexual sins. And it's relevant. It's all Yah
because we are in such a perverse generation. And for those coming behind us, that the Father wants to keep pure or teach them his pure ways, I think it's important that we, just come behind them and support the men in the way that they're going. Hallelujah. It comes sometimes with such grievance, you know. We know what we've done, so let no one be condemned. But remember, it's always to help. Our intentions are always to love, okay? Don't be swayed by any tone in my voice if I get fired up tonight, because I can just feel it sometimes. I just love my Father so much. Mother Jennifer, any announcements?
I have no announcements, Sister Ashley. Just make sure that you prepare your heart for Passover, because it's coming soon.
Pray. That's right. Hey, Martha Jennifer, jump over to the email, and I already told you which one I'd like you to read. Let's hear it. Please take it slow. Take it slow, okay? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It says, Shalom. I was thinking about the daughters of Zion and how much the Father is pouring out to Israel through our beloved shepherd, Pastor Dowd. Thank you, shepherd. Abundant blessings and Yah's favor upon you and your family in restoring our purity, chastity, and honor, that he, the Father, may have a holy remnant, that his culture may be here in the earth and his people reconciled back unto him. I have spent the majority of my life working as a mental health counselor for children and for adults. Recently, you did a show and it was speaking about abuse of girls in society. I don't recall all of the details of the show, but I do recall what came to mind. Around 2002, 2003, I was asked to do a workshop in a Stockton's Women's Health Clinic. At that time, I was the weekend supervisor of a level 14 mental health treatment facility working primarily with girls. An associate who was working at the clinic was spearheading a project with Planned Parenthood to try and combat an onslaught of syphilis that was hitting girls between the ages of 11 and 16, and asked if I would be willing to do a writing workshop to help promote, quote, safe sex practices. I agreed, knowing full well that my promotion would be abstinence and remaining a virgin until being married.
Pause, Mother Jennifer.
One.
Pause.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All right, so Chef is going to post syphilis if you've never heard it. Y'all heard syphilis before?
Yes.
Okay, so there's some no's. I thought there might be some no's because of the age of some of the girls that are in the room with me. So she's going to post up syphilis, and I can read in the chat room for anyone listening that's young that's like, what in the world is syphilis? All right, so this onslaught of syphilis is hitting girls between the age of 11 and 16, okay? So that's young. 11 and 16. Y'all agree that's young?
Yes.
Everyone in here is much older than that, all right? So here she is going to do a workshop and help promote so-called safe sex practices to these girls between 11 and 16, all right? So you got a mental health counselor, you got women's health clinic, you got her doing weekend supervision of level 14 mental health treatments, okay? And primarily it's mostly girls. You got Planned Parenthood, which y'all know is a company or organization that really pushes abortions, okay? And so they're consolidating, coming together. This is the year of 2002-2003, okay? And she's saying her personal goal and her promotion was, I'm going to promote abstinence, and I'm going to promote remaining a virgin until being married. Did you get it, Chef?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Primary syphilis. The first sign of syphilis is small sores, all right?
sores appear at spots where the bacteria enters your body. People affected with syphilis develop, certain conditions, okay? It can be painless. It can be hidden within the vagina or the rectum, okay? Secondary syphilis, a rash that begins on your trunk or covers your entire body, okay? The rash is usually not itchy. It may be sores. Why am I even reading this? Is because I think we need to understand this is, okay, sexually transmitted disease, yes, bacteria, yes, but rash and signs and symptoms, wart-like sores in your mouth or genital area, these things exist. When you hear us say STD, or we say abstain, save yourself, you know, this stuff is out there. This is the result of much sin, okay? Of course, sore throat, swollen lymph nodes, and on and on. So she's saying, all right, I'm gonna help this out. I'm gonna work with this, you know, I'm gonna combat this onslaught of syphilis hitting girls between the ages of 11 and 16. Okay, that means these girls between 11 and 16, somewhere on their body, mouth, vagina, or rectum, they got wart-like sores or rashes. Okay, and this is happening so much that we're gonna get together in this workshop. Okay, Mother Jennifer. Y'all pay attention to this was the key point and the reason for choosing this for the show. Go ahead, Ms. Jennifer.
She says, once meeting with the girls, what I found out was shocking. A large percentage of these girls, about 80%, who all had tested positive for STDs, such as trichomoniasis, AIDS, and syphilis, still believed that they were virgins because they were having anal sex and not vaginal sex. What was further disturbing was that the majority of these girls in that percentage were in the junior high age range. The remaining percentage of girls were pregnant or mothers already. Many of these girls had been desensitized and had no remorse and lacked conscience that they were doing anything wrong. They appeared soulless. Others were broken and was looking for someone to teach them, help them out of their mistakes that they found themselves in, someone to love them righteously. And before we make assumptions about these girls being, quote, black or Hispanic or from low-income homes, over 50% of them were not hued. In fact, the majority of the girls believing they were still virgins were not black or Hispanic. They were white. The majority of the girls who were pregnant or mothers already were hued. With those numbers in the early 2000s, in that age group of girls, I am not surprised to see the debauchery and perversion today. Sister Ashley.
Wow. Yeah, so from 2002 to now, that's 20 years. So there's even more low-income homes. There's even more soulless individuals and even more sexual perversion and STDs. Thousands. They still believed that they were virgins because they were having anal sex and not vaginal sex. I'm going to go to my word a lot tonight. I actually didn't, I got a Bible out in front of me. This one was up here in the sound room. What did you say it was, Amara? An RSVP? RSVP? No, it was Revised Standard Version, okay? It was just up here. I'm going to it. So y'all got to bear with me because I'm going to Deuteronomy 32. I consider holy versus profane and how mixed that really truly is. Going to Deuteronomy 32, the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness, without iniquity, just and right is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children. because of their blemish. They are a perverse and crooked generation. It says here in verse 7, to remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. All right, so pause for a second. Remember the days of old, long ago, and consider the years and years and years and years and years of many, many, many generations, okay? It says to ask your father, and he will show you. Ask your elders, and they will tell you, okay? So we have to be told what is holy. We have to be told what is profane. We can't assume it or think it. We can't justify ourselves. We don't see like the Father sees. All right? Let me go over here for a second. Verse 28 says, they are a nation void of counsel. There's no understanding in them. Go to Ezekiel 44:23, Mother Jennifer. It says, for they are a nation void of counsel. There is no understanding in them. Okay? If they were wise, they would understand this. They would discern their latter end. Okay? If you were wise, you would see the end of a matter. If you were wise, you would see where your footsteps are taking you, where your actions have erred. Right? If you were wise. Well, Jennifer, so what happened when we need to ask our father and we need to ask our elders so that they will tell us? Ezekiel 44:23, please.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Hallelujah. Who is that? The men. Read it one more time, Mother Jennifer. It's so important that we have this. Y'all, if I wasn't taught this, there's no way I could even speak on it or share it to you. There's no way my spirit would even bear witness to what's holy or profane. There's no way I would even be able to clearly see and make a distinction, right? You set yourself apart long enough. You seek the old past. You ask the Father. You ask the elders, right? You sit at wisdom's feet. Then this happens. Ezekiel 44:23, Mother Jennifer.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Hallelujah. So let's call up Nadia and let's call up Tammy, you know, like we did on Sabbath. Let's call up Cheyenne, right? Let's call up, who's the fourth one? Johnny? Yes. Let's call them up. We visually see holy, set-apart virgins, okay? We're waiting on a man to cover them and keeping their body set apart. It is to be exalted. I couldn't be more ecstatic, you know, for what they represent, the law they represent, and the generation that is visually seeing it. You know, Yah is worthy of that. You go to Isaiah 1:6, Mother Jennifer. Got clips for y'all. We got verses. I'll be a little pause here and there because I wanted to use the Bible. I just wanted to pull it out, everything that was, you know, coming to mind. You know, Mother Jennifer, while you get Isaiah 1:6 real quick, it's new for you as an individual to have your sin found out, to have your name called out, to have a stigma on you, to have the fear, you know, of Yah that charts your course. That's why a lot of people believe that we're walking in fear of man, you know, because we do have fear one to another. We have fear of saying this, fear of doing that. We get things right. We go to each other, call sin out, you know. If you see something ain't right, ask about it, that kind of thing. And so it puts spirits on notice. And then, just as the Father said, your everything that's done in the dark will be brought to light. I've seen it thousands of times, thousands of times. Yah's going to find you. You know, Yah's going to find you. Mother Jennifer, Isaiah 1:6.
From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment.
I consider we have not been completely faithful to Yah. You know, we've broken vows, transgressed laws, worthy of death, honestly. I consider that. I want to go to Isaiah 3, and I'm going to go to you a lot, Mother Jennifer. I only got just a little bit left, some of the things that was hitting me before the show. I'm going to go to Isaiah 3. Let's see. Is that a phone call at the end?
Yeah, but I'm
not sure. Okay. I got a 615 in the queue, and I would love to go for you. If you did, in fact, press 1, let me know. Please let me know. How would you let me know? I'll take the risk. Hold on. I'm going to 615. We'll pause right there, Isaiah, okay? Let me see. 615, you're live on the show. Bless you. You are live on the show. All right. Maybe somebody listening or talking and not listening. All right. Isaiah 1:6. You got Isaiah 1:6. You read the Future Friend of Swords. I'm going to Isaiah 3. Let's see. I'm sorry, y'all. I like this version, the KJV on my phone better. Y'all bear with me. I'll pull it up real quick. All right. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer. The show of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given unto him. As for my people, children of their oppressors, women rule over them. O, my people, they which led you, caused you to err. Yah, stand up, plead, and stand and judge your people. Hallelujah. The cry of the righteous is that judgment always be balanced, but that it always go forth. I consider that men were designed to lead. You know, my husband, your husband, men in general, male sons coming up. They're designed to lead, which is a great responsibility. And that responsibility in our law is to be exercised in a manner designed to keep families together. Okay, so they exercise their righteous Hebrew men that we follow, exercise their responsibility in a manner that is designed to keep their family together. And in this perverse, Jesus, generation, there are men and women that are very vile. And you got to be able to see it and know it. You got to be able to red flag it in your spirit. All right? If there's somebody, or let's just say he for a moment, just because I'm speaking of the responsibility for the man over us, so that you know as a woman it's not your role. If he's behind the disruption of a marriage at all, then that's not right according to our law. If there's any treachery, that's not right. If there's any laying with a married woman, it's not right. If there's any rape, you know, I had a woman say, call and said, is it okay that a man put his hands on a woman? Well, I understand you're asking the question in third person, but that means you've been hit and you're afraid to ask me, right? So we got a lot of things happening, a lot of people listening. And a lot of people that need to sort through the profane and the holy. There's no desiring a married woman at all. There's no remarriage to a guilty woman at all. There's no cutting off of an innocent wife. There's the pure law of the Levirate, where a man die, his brother rise up and accept the agreement. If he have no seed, then he's going to, in holiness, take upon that woman and bear seed. There's moral polygyny. There's fornication laws. We hear words like reproach, guilt. You shall not lie with beast. Permissible divorce. We hear about blood on a cloth. We hear all throughout the law sexual morality or immorality. So
I say all that just because when you hear it coming from us, when you hear it coming from Pastor or the leaders in any way, it really just reminds me of the biblical law that was laid out to a really immoral people that had come out of Egypt that needed something holy to chart their course, you know? And we're going to hear more and more about it, Mother Jennifer.
And Sister Ashley, I just want to add, you know, we have such responsible, righteous leaders here in this
yes.
ministry. And as women, we our jobs are so easy. You know, we are required to submit and to obey. And we have to put ourselves in a position of a submissive role and listen to the teachings. You know, don't take what is being taught for granted. Don't be ignorant about the information that's being put out there. Really listen as if your life depends on it, because it truly does. What happens is if you are not taking into account the teachings and the word that's being given, then you run the risk of putting yourself in a position of danger. And we know that our men are so zealous for the daughters of Zion. They're so, you know, they're so protective over the daughters of Zion that you could potentially put them in a bad position because of your ignorance. I remember when we first moved to the land, and Elder Rufus would talk about, you know, women, y'all need to get that spirit out of you that continually wants to leave the land, to run here and run there and go there and, you know, always want to go somewhere and be away from the land. Because if something happens to you, then what's going to happen? You know, the men are going to want to tear up a whole city because of you. And it's your fault because you've put them in that position because of your ignorance. So as with anything, you have to make sure that you are listening to the wisdom that is put out, that you're listening to the teachings that are being put out. You're here for a reason. You're here to learn. You're not here to fellowship. You know, it's not just about that. But you're here to learn. The fellowship will come later. But make sure that you are absorbing everything and that you're investing in yourself, that you're investing in your mind, and that you are understanding how you should be carrying yourself as a woman of Yah. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. The key word to any instruction is to receive it. You know, receive, receive, receive. You don't receive instruction, it doesn't exist to you anyway. You know, it's not real to you. You have to get rid of every kick and every voice and every internal conflict that comes against the true intention or direction from, you know, the leader or the headship that you've been given or that you're under or that you're even seeking. You know, when you look up perversion, I typed it in really quick, Mr. Google. It's the alteration of something from its original source. So it's not just sexual. Okay, so the alteration of something from its original source, and indeed, the Bible being our original source, many things have crept in to pervert that, you know, from doctrines and anything that corrupts our moral law. And we've all seen it or walked in it, been surrounded by it, immersed in it. So the alteration of something from its original source is a distortion or a corruption of what was first intended, you know, and Yah did and has always had a first intention, and his intention never wavered, you know. Also, perversion is sexual behavior or the desire that is considered abnormal or unacceptable. So we have sexual behavior that is considered abnormal. We have sexual behavior that is considered unacceptable in Israel according to our laws, okay? So it doesn't matter what you may feel or what may be your visual stimuli. If you have any sexual practice that is regarded by our culture as abnormal, it's an abnormal means of achieving an orgasm or sexual arousal, then you have perversion. You are guilty. So you have deviance. You know, you have something that's taken you away. You have something that's distorted you, made you false, crooked. And even in the word, the concrete visual explanation of perversion or perverse is to tie in knots, to actually take something and tie it in knots and to make it crooked, you know, to make it crooked. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, the broadcast that Pastor Dow and Elder Rufus did together, that should be something that should be on repeat continually for every woman. You need to be able to digest this information so that you can properly teach your girls, your daughters, your young men as they're growing up. I find that in the world, you've been taught so many perverse things. You know, I've heard about this belief that if you have anal sex that you're still a virgin. I remember hearing about that, you know, going around in the high schools out in the world. And if you come in this way, believing that, thinking that is actually something that's true, you come in and you never deal with that spirit and you just continue to go on and on and on, that belief is going to remain in you and you're going to pass that down to your children. So there was so much information that was put out during that broadcast with Pastor Dow and Elder Rufus, so much, and it was so concrete. There is no way that anybody can mistake any of those words that were said. But I believe that, you know, we need to continue to listen to that. It needs to be our norm. You know, this needs to be, okay, this is what's normal. This is what's holy. This is what is profane, so that no one will have the excuse that they didn't know, because the information is actually out there, and we should be teaching it to our daughters. We should be teaching it to the young daughters of Zion. If you have a young daughter of Zion in your circle and she looks up to you and she trusts you, then you should be helping her along instead of expecting someone else to do it. As an older seasoned woman, you should be helping another young daughter of Zion. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. It was a wonderful show, and it was our sister-to-sister broadcast from 12/30/2021, December the 30th. So it's called Purity of Daughters, and it's posted in the chat room if you need it. Now, I said, Mother Carol, can you give me some perverse things, you know, what comes to mind? Fill in the blank. You know, it's a perverse thing to just fill in the blank. And so she said, it's a perverse act to make others think that you are a certain way when you are in sin behind closed doors. Yah sees you for who you really are. It is a perverse act to reveal your body or yourself to anyone outside of your husband. It is a perverse thing to have any form of intimacy with anyone outside of your husband. Mother Jennifer, your turn. Fill in the blank. It is a perverse act.
It is a perverse act to witness sin or to even witness a perverse act and conceal it. Causing someone else to be ensnared or to be bound. Sister Ashley?
Y'all remember the story of my grandma, right? What'd you do, Grandma? Well, when my granddaughter came and told me that she was raped by my son, which happens to be her uncle, in my home, in the back bedroom, I told her shut up, and I sewed her buttons back on her shirt. Okay? That's the kind of hush-hush silence that the heathens do. We don't conceal anything perverse. We just don't. I know, y'all, I know there's a great presence of fear, demonic fear, in Israel that presents itself not wanting to say something, afraid to be wrong. I remember, and, you know, I'm going to say a few words because it's a real story. If you have any small children, you don't want them to hear it, I understand. I had a brother in the faith in the early years who really talked down to me, cussed me, cornered me in the laundry room, called me a bitch, you know, boasting himself. It really made me afraid. It really did. I'm straight out the world. I'm 27, I don't know what he's capable of. I got righteous leaders that wouldn't tolerate it.
but the fear is so present. You know, why'd my grandma sew the buttons? The fear is so present. I definitely ain't liking in my situation to hers, but fear presents itself. That you was side with the evil one. You know, that you was side with the evil one. But something in you's got to compel you. You know, and I did end up, of course, going to Elder Becker, and things were always taken care of. But remember when fear presents itself. When you see something wrong, when you see something perverse, it's perverse for a woman to touch another woman in a sexual way. It's perverse for her body to be up on your body, her breathing down your neck and ear. It's perverse for a man to do it that's not your husband. It just is. You know? So when these things make you uncomfortable, speak up. Speak up to the right person. Make a very, very diligent choice of who you tell based on their character. Because I know that the network of the Hasatan and his spider web is very tough. And you'll try to creep the world in here in a minute. You speak to the wrong one, and the same thing can happen to you like the world would do to you. Right? Shame you for it. Silence you for it. Not pass it up, you know? You got people that you're supposed to trust. Supposed to trust mom or dad. Supposed to trust brother, sister, uncle, friend, whoever you got in your life. You need to really question who you share with what happens to you. Because it can remain silent and you won't get the help you need. But Yah is our defense, for certain. Yah is our defense, Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, I want to say that really speaking to older seasoned women, we have a responsibility to protect the daughters of Zion. You know, I'm sure that we know of cases from the world where there was a woman who should have protected a young lady, or should have protected a daughter or a granddaughter or whomever, and she was silent because of fear. You know, she was silent because she was fearful of speaking up. You know, well, what'll happen? What will they say? Or I'll lose my home. I'll be tossed out on the streets, whatever the reason is. But when that happens and you're silent, you actually side with evil. You're taking a part in that evil, and you have blood on your hands. So in Israel, this is a deliverance ministry, and we should be able to operate out of freedom. So the good thing is that we have deliverance here. If you've experienced that from the world, then get the deliverance that you need. Don't just think that it's something small, something that doesn't need to be dealt with. Oh, I've suppressed that for 20 years, so I don't have to deal with it. You know, really put yourself in a position to get delivered so that you can move forward. And as older seasoned women, we are responsible for helping and looking out for the daughters of Zion. You know, I will say this, Sister Ashley, is that sometimes the young daughters of Zion, they can't properly discern certain things because they have not had the experience that the older ones have had. So, you know, you can, if your heart is pure, you can discern without having a critical eye, without looking at everything as if it's, you know, something wrong. But if you're really tapped into the Father and you're really driven by his holiness and his righteousness, you will discern properly. Sister Ashley?
You know, it's a perverse generation when we even have to do a show like this. And honestly, you know, some of you sit there numb like, man, I don't even know why we're talking about it. You know, it's easy. It's easy for some people to translate what's holy and profane. But like you say, there's also always a difficulty with some, depending on experience or whatever. And I thank the Father for just making it clear. Sometimes I go, wow, if we're talking about this, then I know something's up. Because there has never been a show in vain. Never. Two accounts of Deuteronomy 25, and all I'm doing is bringing this up as like, you know, examples of the pure law, okay? It said if there was a dispute between men, okay, consider two men, like come into the court, and the judge actually decided between them, okay? So they're going to acquit the innocent, and then somebody's innocent and somebody's guilty, okay? And they say if the guilty man deserves to be beaten, and this is Yah's law, right? If the guilty man deserves to be beaten, then the judge would cause him to actually lie down and be beaten in his presence, That's incredible, right? There's no way we would receive that as a people, that that's the law. If we did that right now, here and now, this is the judgment. This is what we're doing. We're going to beat. We're going to lash, right? There's no way. That's just how far we are. We can't even, hey, get out the city. Man, I ain't doing, man, I ain't got to do with you, you know. Hey, you know, put a head cover on, wife. I don't want you to put makeup on for him. Man, I ain't doing right? In the smallest things. And he says that we will actually beat him in our presence, all right, with a number of stripes to his proportion. But check this justice out, though. All right? 40 stripes is given to him and not more. Because if one should go to beat him with more than 40 stripes, then that man shall be vile. You get it? I mean, it's just that clear cut. So you don't even rise up in great anger and just keep on. Right? You judge him, be done. And you can't even find in the word where a woman even threw a stone. All throughout the accounts is, and the men shall stone him, and the men take him out the city, and the men shall stone, and the men shall stone. We're just not in the same place of judgment, you know, to cast a stone. And our criticism is really a weight against us. You know, our haughtiness and our voice and our mouth is really against us because we ain't even got that same power even in the sight of Yah. Our words mean nothing. Check this out. When men fight with one another, and this is our law, this I can't say was our law because it's holy. It's always and forever pure. You may not see it being walked out. It says when men fight with one another and the wife or the one draws near to even rescue her husband, you know, like man got a club up or an axe up or he's about to take the head off your husband. And you even go and put your hand and seize his private parts, you even touch him, they're cutting your hand off. They're going to cut your hand off. It says your eye shall have no pity on her. You understand how forbidden it is? Don't even touch it. Right? And you know you're going for it because this is weakness. I'm trying to save my husband. You justified, right? Cut your hand off. Wow, that's some restraint, right? And and throughout the word, Mother Jennifer, there's lots of like accounts where you can use the word vile, you know, and that's being like extremely unpleasant. You know, consider a food that you'll just, you know, be extremely unpleasant, something very vile. And in the word, even David said to his wife, I'm going to be even more vile to you. There's a great disdain there, you know, there's a great disdain in her heart for what he's doing. And he's saying, I'm going to be even more vile to you. And that's really what Yah is going to do to any of you who are contrary to him. He's going to become very vile to you. He's going to become very vile through his man of Yah, because that's what he does. He sends him forth to slay souls, really, to offend many. That's exactly what's happening, you know. In Nahum, man, he says, I am like, no, he didn't say I. He said that the Most High will make a commandment against you, and I will make your grave because you're so vile. Like, you're so vile is a great distinction. Why do I say that? It's because we should be on such a winning side, representing such holiness that you could clearly see what is vile and represent it. And when you see somebody, like someone young, being swallowed up or touched or anything happening, guess what? You got to see that as such a vile thing. Makes such a distinguishing difference that no fear, no emotion or anything is going to make you be connected to that. Cover that up. No way. Romans 1:26, Yah gave him up to vile affections. Vile affections. He gave him over to vile affections. You know, sexual immorality is rampant in the United States. And you know, as a people coming out of her, it's going to be rampant in Israel. It just is, right? And he's going to clean it up. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I want to say, you know, Pastor Dow did such an awesome job during the Sabbath message when he talked about perverseness. And I remember one thing that he said really stood out. He said, when you love righteousness, you hate sin. And it sounds so simple, but it was so profound. It really is true. When you love the righteousness of Yah, you are going to learn to hate the sin that resides in you. You're not going to look at everybody else first. You're not going to point the finger first. You know, you're going to have a personal relationship with Him. You're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be looking at what your flesh desires to do. You're going to truly hate everything that the flesh represents. You're going to hate everything that represents sin, and you're going to start with yourself first. You're not going to give yourself a pass. And if you do it that way, then you can properly discern yourself, and you can properly discern sin that is in someone else. But you don't just start by looking at everybody else and looking at their faults and pointing out their faults. You have to first make sure that you are a lover of righteousness. Sister Ashley.
Elder Becker did a great show called Spirit of Confusion. I literally listened almost to the last few minutes. Chef just reminded me. He said you should check out the word vile. Check out its meaning, right, Chef?
Yep.
Hallelujah for that. Let's go to our first clip. Make sure y'all can hear everything. Give me some tens or some feedback. Hallelujah in the chat room. All right. Here we go. This is Pastor on 1-22-20. Wow. A lot of twos. January 22nd of 2022. Sabbath service of Pastor Dow on Pastor Dow's channel. Here we go.
Now, ladies, sisters, you ever notice that this law ain't playing with y'all? It ain't playing with y'all. Y'all better, if you ain't married, you better keep your legs shut.
Hallelujah.
I mean, right now they just gave one to be burned with fire and then the other one is stoned to death. Y'all want to join that union? You want to get in line for that? Men get death penalties too. We're going to go in now. I got a few punchlines in here. Some, you know, some of the brothers, like Brother Steve said, man, I love it when you talk about this law.
Wait, what if I don't love it when you talk about the law? Really? Like, what if you don't? Then tell y'all you don't. Talk to y'all and say you don't. Tell him about it. How are you going to move forward? How are you going to love it? You can continue to burn in your mind when you even hear it. You know? Man, I'm so gosh damn tired of everybody saying they love the law. You'll hear voices like that. Right?
Because she have wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house, so shall you put a what? So when you stone and kill her, guess what? You get rid of evil. That was deliverance. That was deliverance back then. See, you put away, get them out. See what I mean? So y'all see this daughter's out? Y'all is serious about y'all staying pure. Very serious, extremely serious.
Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, we know that he's coming back for a pure bride. And during this time, the desire is for us to be pure. But we can't be pure if we're continuing to walk in such a sinful way. And it's true that Yah is serious about the daughters of Zion. If we are his bride, of course, he's going to be very serious you know, to make sure that he's not marrying a whore, coming back for a whore. So we have to make sure that we're keeping ourselves pure continually. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. To be spotless without wrinkle and blemish, only by his applied blood. That's the only way.
Should he be thinking about another Israelite brother's wife? Sick bastard.
Yeah, that's how we're going to be talked to. It's coming. A lot more of it.
Shall you put away the evil from Israel?
Deuteronomy,
I always put them highlights. It's good to put that one in it. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Deuteronomy 23:17. There should be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. It's a law.
right, you're clapping. All right, let's see.
All it takes is just one act of whoredom to open up the door for Satan to come in.
Yeah, why do I have a problem with that? You know, why would I have a problem with that? Why would I, you know, burn? Why would it burn in me to even hear that? One act of sin, one iniquity, one whoredom. You know, because there's a lot of children. And you make them all pray when you're selfish, when you burn your lust, and you want your flesh pleased. There's a lot of women looking at each other for examples. There's a lot of young daughters. And you destroy that, and you allow familiar spirits in, and then the voice of Yah and His holiness becomes like a little flicker of a candlelight to the spotlight of carnality and whoredoms that you ushered in, and you don't think of it like that. But we are one. We are one, not this so-called many.
Just one. And, of course, when people are doing stuff like this, they don't even repent.
No.
This is one of the first places you ever been that we tell you, you need to go back and you need to repent for all this mess. But don't do this little Christian thing where you just one-time sinner's prayer and it wipes the whole thing clean. You better be searching your heart. That's why David.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I'm glad that Pastor brought that part up, you know, about truly repenting and searching the heart, because I believe that is a big part that is missed in the process of repentance. You know, the confession, like you said, just be honest with Yah. He already knows your heart. But when you're not honest with yourself and you think that you're hiding, you're not doing yourself a service at all. Repentance is definitely a process, but you have to search your heart because you'll deceive yourself. You won't know what's in your own heart. Ask Yah to reveal it, and when He does, be ready to receive what He's showing you instead of being puffed up and prideful or fearful of what you're seeing in yourself, something that you've never seen before. You know, if someone is telling you that something is in you that needs to be changed, then really listen to what they're saying and consider it. But you have to, in order to desire to really be holy, you have to understand that we deceive ourselves all the time. And repentance is a process. It's not just an I'm sorry. You know, that's not enough. That's called an apology. Repentance is actually a process that causes you to produce fruit. You know, there's a godly sorrow attached to it, and then you produce the fruit of repentance. He said that all it takes is one act. And I think if we had that in our mind and if we walked around fully conscious of that, we would be aware of the things that we think of, the things that we see, the things that we allow to enter into our ears, the conversations that we take part in, you know, the things that we talk about, the movies that you watch, just anything. We would be conscious of that. If all it takes is one act to put me in a position to where, you know, there could be a perverse spirit that could enter in, then I'm going to be conscious of that. I'm going to really take that seriously. Because then I can teach my children the same thing, that all it takes is one act. You know, they came into this world pure, and you want to make sure that there's not one act that's going to make them profane or perverse. So we have a responsibility to teach them. Sister Ashley?
The thing that you love needs to be vile to you if it's vile to Yah. But you wouldn't know if you don't ask. All right, so what's vile about me, Yah? You know, what's vile about me? We're, you know, embarrassed or we're shy or, you know, afraid to ask those things and communicate those things. But you're talking to a Yah of great love who's seen it from the beginning, who wants you to see it, you know? The thing that you love,
that is vile needs to be vile to you. You don't know if a movie you watch is vile. No, you don't. You just watch it. You don't even communicate or ask him. You don't even involve him, right? So Ma, thanks for listening. She sent her source of the definition of vile, morally repugnant and morally flawed, corrupt and wicked, of no value, disgusting, foul, ugly, degrading and humiliating, of low estate, without esteem, hideous, cheap, dishonorable, lowborn, shameful. That's a good one. That's a real good one. I had another thought that slipped my mind. Let's go here.
I want the speaking span. I want the spotlight. I want it all. I want to be clean. Create me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit.
No. No, we don't want that. Let's go here. This is it.
Hey gentlemen, I was having a conversation last night on Discord with a few friends, and one question popped up that often pops up. It's like, men and women are never completely villains or saints, you know. The picture you get painted is always that they were a saint and the other person was a villain. I find it much more the case that men will admit, you know, I really screwed up here. We didn't get along. She was wretched, but, you know, I'm not really proud of myself for what I did here. Women don't like to admit they did any wrong. Women don't like to admit responsibility. They're always angels. They're always marketing themselves as angels. And it's overwhelmingly, when you look at it, they're lying to save face to other women. Women are living in this constant, perpetual state of anxiety and fear where they can never be honest. What does that do to you in terms of demoralizing you? You can never be honest. You get used to playing musical chairs with the truth to avoid responsibility. Anyway, I can place myself in a position of advantage, regardless of the truth, regardless of this is humility, I can learn something from this. No, no, it's kind of like, how can I get out of this lexically? How can I get out of this by making excuses? The ends verbally always justify the means because I want to be safe. And this is one of the important things I was suggesting. Here's my theory why women don't take responsibility and why they're always perfect and they were always the angel and the guy who did everything wrong. He was the villain, she was the saint. I think because women are afraid of other women. They're worried, they're anxious about other women tearing them apart. Because look at it this way, women burnt the bridge with men collectively over the last few generations. Publicly, on TV, commercials, girl power, they can do anything, they don't need men. Men are jokes, can men just get out of our way? Can men disappear? A world run by women. We don't need men, we don't like men. Men annoy us, get away from us. Can you just go away? Like, and over the years, men have kind of heard and go, okay, we get the point. All right, we get the point. We thought it was a joke initially. We get the point, you're serious. You don't want us. We're a nuisance. You'd rather a world without men. Men never think this way. This is sociopathic, but apparently women let feminists talk for them and speak for them and run with the baton for women. And so they'll say, we don't need men. What's happened is that women are now on their own, vulnerable out in the world because they've burnt these bridges with men. Right? They've publicly said, we don't like you, we don't need you. In fact, we hate you. Get out of our way. We wish you weren't around. So they're publicly out in the open now trying to be independent with other women. And we...
Pause, Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, what a very sad but true clip. And it even reminds me of the responses of the women during Sabbath service. You know, when pastors asking questions and really just trying to get the women to confess so that they can be set free. But there's such a high level of silence, you know, and you hear the men are confessing. You know, the men are confessing. They're answering the questions, but the women are extremely silent. Sister Ashley?
It's just a lot of fear. Mother Jennifer, there's a lot of fear present. There really is. All right. My husband sent me this a long time ago, and I just stored it on the shelf. So we're going to finish this clip.
Women don't trust other women. Women remember the schoolyard. Women remember the psychological abuse. Women know how psychologically abusive other women are, but they believe in the sisterhood. That's a farce. So women have this reflex now to lie, not because they're worried about what men will think, but they're worried about how women will tear their eyes out. Like the moment a woman publicly says, you know what, I was wrong, I made a mistake, you know what, us women, we're not that great, it's kind of like, rah! You get these women crucifying them.
Yes.
Women have no solidarity in the sisterhood, and this is the fear. Women pretend to love their enemy, the sisterhood, lest they get their eyes clawed out. That's what it is. The real fear is not men. It's women for women. Women don't care what men think, really. Women aren't afraid of men in any real overarching sense. They might be worried about a stronger man when they're walking alone in an alleyway, but they're not really worried about men. In fact, they snub their nose at men. They'd be happier if we weren't around. But what they've done is, without a man to protect you, without a man to give a woman the humility to say, you can be honest and tell me the truth where you messed up and I'll still care for you, I'll still protect you, women were able to be honest there. But without an avenue like a man who'd protect you and allow you to be honest and allow you to say, you know, I messed up, I'll be a better person, without that, women have to continually lie because other women will destroy them out there. It's this false solidarity of sisterhood that women are afraid of. So they have to lie to men. They have to keep up the charade. There's this strategy, I forget the name, in chess, where you're losing and there's no way you're going to win. So you just keep going further into hell and you just keep going at full pelt because that's the only strategy left. So women have burnt these bridges with men. The only strategy is to go forward with their religion of sisterhood, independent, strong woman until the grave, because they won't say they're sorry. They won't admit they're wrong because the sisterhood will claw their eyes out and there are no men to protect them because they don't want men. This is a position of women. So buy stocks in antidepressants because women are taking them far more than men are, and the psychiatric industry is booming at the moment. So it's just something I wanted to convey. I think women are lying to themselves to ease their immediate anxieties of what they've put themselves in, this world of independent, strong woman, in a sisterhood that at the first chance will throw them under the bus, and they know it. They remember the schoolyard. They remember what women can be like psychologically, how they lie and in the next breath they'll destroy you. Women are demoralizing themselves because they're lying to themselves about men. Women have placed themselves in a vulnerable position out there without the protection and love of men in a cruel world where no one cares about them anymore. Women have to lie to survive now, more than ever. I don't know what's going to happen, but women really need to clean up their act, not for my sake, for their own, so people can get along a little bit better with or without relationships. Anyway, I hope that was food for thought. I thought that was something important to convey that I started to think about when the men I was discussing with were saying, why can't women just take a little bit of a responsibility? Why can't they be honest, you know? Even if a man was 80% wrong, she wasn't perfect. Come on. At least admit some mistakes, some flaws. No, women have to be beautiful, smart, successful, intelligent, perfect, don't need anyone. They have to be goddesses, and they keep pushing this narrative because they're afraid of what will happen if they stop, if they have some humility, if they have some honesty and relate to the world in a much more honest way, which I think not all men, but a lot of us are trying to do. Anyway, I hope that was food for thought.
All right. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I wanted to say that, you know, once you let go of that, the facade, that false perception that you put out there, once you let go of all that and you understand your value, you understand your identity, you understand that the opinions of, you know, what other people think, it doesn't matter. The opinion of Yah and how he views you in his sight is what matters. And I'm not saying that in a prideful way. I'm not saying that you should walk around saying, I don't need nobody but Yah. I'm not saying that. what I'm saying is when you understand your value and your identity, and you understand that, you know, I literally am nothing. You know, I have nothing. I am nothing. So what am I trying to protect? You know, what is this quote-unquote reputation that I'm trying to protect? When you let go of all that, then that's when you can be vulnerable to another woman and you can truly build a true relationship. I can say that when I got married to Elder Rufus, and I got married to him when I was in my 30s, and I remember wanting to be set free so bad that I confessed everything that I could remember, you know, that how I messed my life up for 30 years, but I need to be free. I can't walk around in our marriage with all these memories from my past. And he was so loving and such a man that I could just open myself up and reveal those things to him without being judged. And he was there to help me get set free. So what do you think I'm going to do with that? I'm going to use that experience to help other women get set free. There's nothing that someone can tell me that would make me bat an eye as long as I know that you want to be free. You know, if you're still in your sin, then that's something completely different. But I'm not going to look at you sideways when you truly just desire to be free. And I think that we all have to put ourselves in that situation so that we can be vulnerable with each other. Sister Ashley.
Yes, there can come a point in your life where, you know, you've been so real with yourself and you understand your Creator sees you, you know, naked and bare, counts the hairs on your head, you know, and knows all that you've done and still loves you. And you don't mind saying, this is what I'm not good at. You know, this is what she's great at. This is where I'm, you know, I'm not beautiful. I ain't spent a day of my life beautiful in the flesh, you know. I don't got no shame in saying that. I don't got, like, if I say that, everybody gonna look at me and see that I'm not beautiful. No, like, this is me. You know what I mean? And so when you know he sees you, I mean, when you know that you know that you know he sees you, and it takes some humbling experiences to get there, then everyone else isn't your God anymore, you know. And you're not the goddess, like you said, that we try to be. Hey, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Enjoy the music.
Watch me from within.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're back. Bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Sister broadcast tonight. Bless you to everyone listening. Hallelujah. Hey, there's a crowd of us, a remnant of us that really want to love each other. And we're going to get it right. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts during the break?
Oh, Sister Ashley, you know, this broadcast is so rich and so full, and I'm just praying that the Daughters of Zion are just really taking all the words into consideration and not taking for granted the teachings that are put out there, the fact that we are truly loved and we are truly protected, that we are in such a blessed position and that we would not take that for granted. So I just pray that everyone is listening. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor Corey did a really great message called, what was it? Help me out. I didn't listen to it over and over, but thank you to the Goshen, you know, the separation from the body, separation from the body. Just yesterday. I caught it 3 hours late. But what's Pastor call them, the four horsemen? Thank you to those brothers who tuned in and helped out and spoke up, and I appreciate it. It was really, really good when you're somebody who knows by experience the things that you're hearing touches you way different. Hallelujah. Hey, let's go to the next sound bite. Everything I'm pulling, Mother Jennifer picked tonight. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer 1:22, January 22nd, 2022. Sabbath service with Pastor Dow on Pastor Dow channel. Another clip.
And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of a what? Woman, burning their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves a recompense.
Can we say disgusting?
Disgusting.
Disgusting. And we've seen brothers come here with glitter on their shoes.
Big glitter.
You saw it?
Yep.
Yes. Come through the serving line with soft shoes. It's sick. It's sick. I'm with a strong man. He's a quiet man. Very sound, very strong man. Mother Jennifer, you with a strong man?
Absolutely. No doubt about it, Sister Ashley.
Does he got glitter on his belt and shoes?
Never, ever.
This is really vile, y'all. This is really vile. It's not, I don't turn my head in disrespect. I don't dishonor any man. But this is amongst us. Absolutely, in every way. Don't think we don't see it. We just waiting on y'all. Hallelujah. And the elders wait too, to the perfect time that they be led. All right, back to the clip. Likewise, also the men leave the natural use of the women, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves
of their reward, which was the error, which was me. 1 Peter 4:3. We won't be here for a second because I went through many translations on this. So listen, for in time past of your life may suffice of us to have wrought the will of the pagans, Gentiles, when you walked in lasciviousness. Anybody ever did that before? When you walked in lust. Anybody ever did it before? All the men raising their hand. Women ain't doing shit. If the men are raising their hand, they had to do it with somebody. See y'all damn clean mouths and filthy lies. I don't want nobody ever think that I would. You ain't fooling nobody. Lust and excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries. Watch this one. English Standard Version. For in times past, what's that word? Suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawlessness and idolatries. Didn't y'all used to do that in the past? Huh? In time past. Aramaic Bible. For in times past, was enough in which you serve the pleasures of the pagans. Well, that's concrete, isn't it? Isn't that concrete? in debauchery, drunkenness, in whoredoms, in orgies, in the worship of demons.
Who can say they didn't serve the pleasure of the pagans? You know, Mom Jennifer, your thoughts?
And we're in such a blessed position now, Sister Ashley, because we're being taught the truth. And, you know, I thought it was so profound when he gave these different translations, you know, serving the pleasures of the pagans and the worship of demons. And I thought that this portion was interesting because the women were refusing to even comment or, you know, to even acknowledge what pastor was asking or what he was even saying. And, you know, when you think about it from that standpoint, it makes sense as to why so many women are still just bound, you know, because we refuse to be vulnerable. We're afraid to, you know, afraid of what someone else is going to think of you. And that's not what it's about at all. If you're afraid to confess, then you're going to be afraid to sit in a deliverance chair and tell somebody what you need deliverance for. So we have to let go of that. And if the shoe fits, if it really is you, and this is an area where you need help, then you need to get the help that you need. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Very well said. And you can tell that we don't have any, you know, fear of speaking up. You hear us weekly. You know, you hear our hearts. Our lives are open books before you. Hallelujah. So I have no hesitation to say anything. Of course, on the show, it's always about timeliness, you know, and valuing the listener. But honestly, you can get very, very free when you see you like Yah sees you. All right, last clip for tonight. This is where our lovely representatives got called up, Janice, Nadia, Cheyenne, and Tammy. Hey, hit that shofar, Chef. Hit that shofar. Hallelujah. We're going to praise the virgins and for those that Yah has set apart. Hallelujah. And bless his holy name. Come on, Chef. My hope that you would never, ever, ever be disturbed by such a beautiful example, that you would never compare your faults and your mistakes. I was going to play it, and I was a little worried about the background noise. The Rufus had put up a TikTok December 3rd, 2021 called Sisters, Value Yourself and Restore Righteousness. It was like in a working area, so you could hear the noise in the background, so I just didn't want to play it on. I wanted to play it on the show, but I did not want the background noise to overpower his voice. And so check it out if it interests you. It's on Straightway Georgia El Rufus's channel, and it's really encouraging. It really, really is. It's value yourself and restore righteousness. It's for everyone, not just the virgins. But going back to these beautiful women that actually have an opportunity to restore something because of those that have went before them that made mistakes, right? So we all play a perfect role here, right? And these women deserve much praise and much credit, and I pray they get it. Let's go to the pastor and see what he says when he's standing right beside these women and he called them up. So you're going to see, you're going to hear what he says about why he's using this visual example.
You see what I'm saying? See, we got to have teachers like this, because if you don't do it openly, see, the one reason why I'm doing this is because I know what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you what I know what I'm doing. You want to hear what I'm doing? You want to see what you know what I'm doing? One reason I'm doing it so that everybody knows, and then if you see something going crazy, guess what? You're going to go run a test. Because now the eyes of your understanding have been opened. You get it? And you shouldn't even want these little young damsels, young virgin, young daughters of Zion to go through some of the shit you done been through in life. You should be happy. You should be proud of them. When you come here, then even I'll cook a biscuit. So you're getting ready to buy value. You're getting ready to buy somebody that comes already, right out the package. Right out the package. Ready for marriage. Ain't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Somebody tell me what's wrong with that.
Nothing.
See, we should have teachers like this. It should be going all across the land in every assembly.
Yeah.
And you should respect them enough to not violate them.
Hallelujah.
That's what you should do. You should do that with all the daughters of Zion, whether it's virgins or not.
Hallelujah. What's wrong with that type of standard? Hallelujah. It's really the fear of Yah that's being promoted that keeps us all so safe, Mother Jennifer.
Right. You know, Sister Ashley, Pastor said, you know, we should respect them enough to not take advantage of them. So we have to understand that they're vulnerable. They are. And I'll never forget this statement that you said, that there is a devil who hates our virgin daughters of Zion. That statement just really stays with me, you know, and it just really helps me to be sober and to understand and know what my role is in helping to protect them and to make sure that they're not tainted, to make sure that they don't have to go through the things that I put myself through in the younger years. So we have a responsibility to make sure that they remain pure, you know, that they're not despised because of their virginity. We're very happy because they've been kept pure, and we want to make sure it stays that way. You know, even Pastor mentioned in his clip, speaking up when you see that something is not right or something you believe that something is not right. And we have a responsibility to train our children up from an early age to teach them how to snitch, you know, how to speak up. If you're not comfortable about something, then you need to speak up about it. Speak up to put them in a position where they can speak up to you as a mother and help them to sort out or discern what they're feeling. I remember when Elder's daughter, Mariah, from a very young age, you know, she has been taught, you tell Papa everything. Tell Papa everything. Tell Papa everything. And she has done that. She's been trained to snitch regardless. If there's something that she doesn't understand, something that has made her uncomfortable, then she's going to talk it through. She knows that she can come to us and talk it through, but that's the way that we have trained her. So there's no silence. There's nothing that's going to be able to silence her because she's been trained to speak up regardless. Sister Ashley.
Seven.
Hallelujah. Jacob heard that Dinah, his daughter, had been defiled. Y'all ever read that account, Genesis 34?
Yes.
They've taken the whole clan. Like Mother Jennifer said, Elder Ruben said, you know, stop doing all this running to and fro, because if something happened to you, you tear up the city. You know, hallelujah, tear it down. Then you got the opposite in 1 Samuel 3. When the father said, I'm going to fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, and I'm going to tell him that I'm going to punish his house forever. What was the reason, Yahweh, that you would punish a house forever? Because your sons were blaspheming Yah, and you didn't restrain them. You allowed it. You permitted it. You didn't say nothing. Of course, the judgment being, you know, as strong as it was because of who he was, he said, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be removed by sacrifice or an offering forever. Man, that's some tough talk. That's some really tough talk. I think we need to hold our heads, you know, hands held high, shamefaced. Yes, heads held shamefacedly. Hallelujah. Remember something from tonight, let it compel you to keep your body. No matter what, where you are, you're a married woman, keep your body. It's his, you know. You're a virgin, you're keeping your body. You've made mistakes. Keep your body. Make changes. Clean it up. Get it right, you know. You speak with much mercy and compassion. Never is, you know, tit for tat, one sin for this or that. You got breath in your body. You got time to repent and get it right. You know, you got time to love the Most High Yah and all his laws. Let's hear a song, and I'll be right back, Mother Jennifer, to hear your last words.
The Lord is great and greatly to be praised.
Thank you, Cheyenne, for keeping your body.
Hallelujah. Come on, Nadia. Come on up, Nadia. Come on, Nadia. Let's go, Nadia. Thank you, Nadia. I love you. Thank you for keeping your body. Come on, Mother Jennifer. Give her a high five and thank you.
Hallelujah. High five, Nadia. Thank you for keeping your body.
Yes, yes. Mother Jennifer's got a daughter looking at y'all. Hallelujah. Come on, Tammy.
Come on, Tammy.
So, I thank you. I love you. Come on, Tammy. Keep your body. You hear me? Hallelujah. Come on,
come on
up, Johnny.
Come on, Johnny. Come on now.
Hey. Hallelujah. Great to be praised. Thank you for keeping your body. Come on, Mother Jennifer, talk to her.
Thank you so much for staying holy and for staying pure.
Thank you, Johnny. Bless you.
Thank you.
show.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Yah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yah, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Shalom.
Mentality.
Let's see a beautiful thing.